Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Ted Zion Amud Aleph, about five lines down. The Gemara here is continuing to discuss the Braita that it brought at the end of yesterday's daf. The Braita told us about different Tanaim's approach to mashkim, to liquids. We had the position of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, who were important to us in the previous machloket, and that is Rabbi Meir believes that mashkim can be mekabel tuma midoraita, but they cannot convey tuma midoraita. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi believe that they can not only be mekabel tuma, they can convey tuma at least to ochlim midoraita. Within that breita, we had the position of Rabbi Elazar, and v'chein haya Rabbi Elazar omer kidvarav. After Rabbi Meir stated his opinion, Rabbi Elazar is said to agree with that position of Rabbi Meir. Now the Gemara asks about that five lines down, v'sava Rabbi Elazar mashkim mitlahu tuma be'olam. Rabbi Elazar really thinks that there's any tuma whatsoever associated with mashkim, that he agrees with Rabbi Meir, v'hatanya. Belezo Omer, ain tuma the mashkim kolikar. There is no such thing or no concept of tuma when it comes to liquids. Teda, I can prove it to you. Share heid Yosef ben Yoezer ish treda. There was a testimony from Yosef ben Yoezer ish treda, which is from the Mishnah in Idiot. Mishnayot in Idiot have testimonies from many different Tanaim. This is the testimony of Yosef ben Yoezer ish treda, that number one, Ayel kamtsa dachain, that the stag locust is the chen is tahor. Tahor means here kasher. You can eat it. It's one of the locusts that is kasher. V'al mashkim beit mitbechaya, and the liquids in the mikdash in the beit mitbechaya, which is dam and mayim, dachen, that they are tahorim. And from that, Rabbi Elazar conclude, if they are tahorim, it must be because they only have a din derabanan. If they were tamei midoraita min haTorah, then you would have a problem of going in the mikdash and saying that they are tahor. Whereas if the only reason that they are Tameh is an institution to Rabbanan, the Rabbanan can suspend that in the Mikdash. And by saying that what is found, the liquids that are found in Beit Midichayar, Tahorim, Yosef ben Yoezer is indicating that these dinim are only dinim de Rabbanan. And that's what Rabbi Elazar is saying here, that there is no Tumah of Mashkim at all. And what does that mean at all? So Anichel Lishmuel, according to Shmuel, Damar Dachain, when he says it means Tahor, it means Milatameh Tumat Achirim. Tahor means that it cannot convey Tumah. Aval Tumat Atzman Yeshtahem. But they do have the ability to accept Tuma Shapir. It works well. So when Yosef ben Yoezer Ish Tzreda says here that they are Tehorim, what he meant, the Tehorim means that they are not conveying Tuma min haTorah. They only accept Tuma min haTorah. And therefore, that would accord with the position of Rabbi Meir over here. Rabbi Meir says that the liquids can accept Tuma midoraita, but do not convey it midoraita. El the Rav, but Rav, the way Rav explains that position of Yosef ben Yoezer Ish Tzreda, Damar Dachein Mamash, when he says Tahor, he means Tahor the Gamre meaning that they both do not accept Tuma Min HaTorah, and they do not convey Tuma Min HaTorah. Ma'ika the Meimar, how you can explain this position of Rabbi Elazar and reconcile it with the Braita? So I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Achado, that it's only going on one of the two positions of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir has two positions. One position is that liquids accept Tuma Midoraita. The second position is that they do not convey Tuma Midoraita. And V'chein Amar Rabbi Elazar, that which Rabbi Elazar said that he agrees with Rabbi Meir, is about the fact that they do not convey Tuma Midoraita. But about the fact that they accept Tuma Midoraita, that he does not agree with him about. Rabbi Meir says, wait a minute, that's very difficult. V'hai kidvarav denefishe kamar. Doesn't the Braita say, V'chein haya Rabbi Elazar omer kidvarav? Kidvarav is written in the plural form. Plural form means everything that Rabbi Meir says. You can't say just about one thing, then it should have been written in the singular form. The fact that it's written in the plural form already indicates that Rabbi Elazar completely agrees with Rabbi Meir. Va'od, va' v'chein ketani. The Braita continues and says v'chein. And so, and when you say v'chein, v'chein sounds like he agrees entirely with Rabbi Meir, not that he partially agrees with him. Kasha, that is a problem within the position of Rabbi Elazar, according to Rav's explanation of Yosef ben Yoezer ish tzreda. Because now you have an inconsistency in Rabbi Elazar's position. Rabbi Elazar and the Braita seems to be like Rabbi Meir, which is that there is tuma d'oraita in acceptance of Tumah for liquids, but they cannot convey Tumah min haTorah. Whereas this statement of Rabbi Elazar with regards to the testimony of Yosef ben Yoezer Yisreda seems to indicate that Rabbi Elazar thinks that not only do Mashkim not convey Tumah, they also do not accept Tumah. Gufa. So now we're going to explain this machlok between Rav and Shmuel with regards to how they understood that position of Yosef ben Yoezer Yisreda. Rav Amar Dachin Mamash. Rav says that when he meant Tahor the Gamrei. Tahor means that they do not convey Tumah. But liquids do have Tumah in terms of themselves. They can't accept or be mekabel Tumah. Rav Amar Dachin Mamash. Rav says that they are completely Tahor Kasavar. He believes Tumat Mashkim Derabanan. Completely and entirely Tumat Mashkim are Derabanan. That's both in the acceptance of Tumah and in the conveyance of Tumah. V'chi gazu Rabbanan Mashkim Da'alma. When the Rabbanan were gozer on Mashkim, that was things outside of the Mikdash. U'mashkim beit mit b'chaya lo gazur. But when it came to the Mikdash, they were not gozer. Not gozer means they're not gozer in either instance, both in the instance of b'mekabel Tumah and in conveyance of Tumah. And that's why when Yossi ben Yoezer, Ish Tzreda, says they're Tahor in the Mikdash, it means Tahor the Gamre. There is no Tumah associated with them at all. When Rabbi Yossi ben Yoezer says Tahor, he means Tahor, that they do not convey Tumah. But, aval Tumat Atzman Yishlem, but they do accept Tumah. Kasavar, he holds Tumat Mashkim Atzman De'oraita. The acceptance of Tumah by liquids is a din min haTorah, like Rabbi Meir. Letamei Acherim De'Rabbanan, but convey Tumah forward, that's only a din De'Rabbanan. V'chi goes a Rabbanan Mashkim Da'alma. And when the Rabbanan put the Gzera in place to say the Mashkim can convey Tumah, that's only in general, outside of the Mikdash. B'mashkim beit mitachaya lo gazur. But within the Mikdash, they were not gozer. Chilo gazur Rabbanan litmuya cherim. And when the Rabbanan were not gozer, that's about conveying Tumah. Well, Tumah tatzman yesh lahem. The acceptance of Tumah is not an issue of the Rabbanan. It's an issue d'horaita. And therefore, they have no say about where or how that comes to manifestation in the Mikdash. And the Mikdash is going to be tameh just like it is outside of the Mikdash because that is a din d'horaita. When there's an imposition or a takanat chachamim, the gabei mashkim, to convey Tumah, there they can decide that they only put it outside the Mikdash, not in the Mikdash. And that explains the difference in opinion between Rav and Shmuel over here. So Amalei Rav Huna Bar Chinan Ale Brei, he says, Zaki Alita Kameh Rav Papa. When you go before Rav Papa, when you go to see Rav Papa, Ramile, ask him this question. Umi Amar Shmuel Dachain? Did Shmuel really believe when he said Tahor Miletamei Tumah Tachirim? That is convey Tumah. Aval Tumah Tatzman Yesh Lahem, but they do have their own form of Tumah. Karikan, then what are you going to do with this Pasuk? Ba Basar Asher Yigah B'chol Tamei, Lo Ye'achel. By Basar Kodesh, Basar that is Kodesh that came from a Korban, it says if it comes into contact with any Tumah whatsoever, Lo Ye'achel, it cannot be eaten. Meaning that it becomes Tamei, it's ruined by coming into contact with any Tumah. The Pasuk does not define what Tamei is. It says B'chol Tamei, anything that is Tamei whatsoever. If you believe that Mashkim can accept Tumah, that means that they are Tmeim. If they are Tmeim, then the Pasuk here seems to indicate that they can pass that Tumah onto a piece of meat that is Kodesh. So I'm Rav Shesha, Bred Ravidi, Midahava Revi B'Kodesh. Why isn't this any different than a Revi B'Kodesh? In Kodesh, when you get to a fourth level of Tumah, that's Pasul, and it cannot convey Tumah to a fifth level of Tumah. So why would you say that over here, the liquids, once they hit that level where they accept Tumah, they can convey it forward? Why are they different than a Revi in Kodesh, which also accepts Tumah and does not convey it forward? Gomat Gifla Ravashi, is the comparison such a good comparison? Revi'i b'kodesh, lo yikre tamei. Revi'i b'kodesh is called pasul, it's not called tamei. Hai yikre tamei. On the other hand, the mashkim over here are called tameim, because the pasuk terms them as being tameim, not as psulim. Yes, they may not convey Tumah forward, but they're still termed as tamei. If they're termed as tamei, then that's problematic, because the pasuk says any contact with tamei, and here liquids are defined as tamei, will cause a problem for kodesh. And that seems to indicate that liquids can convey Tumah, not just accept Tumah, but convey Tumah Kasha. That is a difficulty within that position of Shmuel. Okay, Tashma. The Pasuk says, V'chol mashke, asher yishateh, v'chol kli yitmah. That any mashke, any liquid that one drinks, v'chol kli that's found inside of a utensil, the utensil now that is Tameh because the sherets came into it, yitmah will become Tameh. So, my yitmah. So over here, we're going to say, okay, yitma, we're not going to darshan yitma yitameh. Yitma means that it became tameh, yitameh means that it can pass on tuma. Nevertheless, it says here, v'chol mashkeh asher yishateh v'chol kli yitma, that it will become tameh. And that would indicate that these mashkim have tuma midoraita, at least they can accept tuma midoraita, which would be problematic for Rav. When it says ma yitma, yitma over here doesn't mean they themselves become tameh, rather hekshir, that they are makshir ochlim, to be mekabel tumah. Makshir ochlim de kabel tumah means that ochlim, or solid food items, in order to be mekabel tumah, they have to be washed in one of the seven liquids that the Torah determines. Those seven liquids are known by the acronym Yad Shachat Dam, which is Yayin, Dam, Shemen, Chalav, Tal, Dvash, Mayim. Those are seven items that are considered liquids in the Torah. If those liquids then wash the food, liratzon of the balim, the balim wanted to happen. Whether it happens actively or passively doesn't matter, as long as the balim wanted it to get washed by that liquid. Then they are what's called mukshar de kabel tumah. They are primed now to accept tumah. So now the itma over here means not that they accept tumah, these liquids, but rather that these liquids are makshir de kabel tumah. When it says hekshir, why do I need to know about hekshir de kabel tumah? Mi reshit de krash maitle. We already know that from the first half of the pasuk. The first half of the pasuk says, mikol ochel asher ye achel. from any food that will be consumed, then if a liquid passes over it, then that is makshir that to be a kabel tuma. So why do I need twice in the same pasuk to teach me about hekshir the kabel tuma, that liquids are makshir the kabel tuma? It says chad betlushim v'chad mechubarim. The difference is that we're teaching about liquids in different states. There's a liquid that is separated and a liquid that is attached. Mostly it has to do with water. Water is the one where it would really make a difference. But that means that you can have hekshir the kabel tuma both from liquids that are in a kli, that are separated out, they're already away from where they originated, or even if the item, the food item, goes into a body of water that's attached to the ground, that still is makshir the kabel tuma. Tosafot points out over here, that's only if the tuma comes into contact with it after it's been taken out of the body of water. But if, while it's still in the body of water, if the tame item touches it, then it wouldn't affect it. So it has to come out of that body of water and then have that hekshir in order to be considered tame. Mitzrichi, and we need both of them. We need two different limudim here, one for mechubar and one for talush. Diyesh minim betalushin. If you only told me that hekshir works with liquids that have been separated away from their origination, mishum d'achshavinu. The fact that you took them out and you collected them shows that you're machshiv them, and that's maybe because they have significance. That's why they're machshir. Aval mechubarim, on the other hand, if they are attached to the ground, emalo, they're in their natural state. Maybe over there they can't be machshir. V'itana mechubarim, if you only told me about the liquids in their original state, shum dekami b'duchtayu chashivis, since they're in their original position, that gives them chashivut, because that's where they originate, that's where they are from. Aval tulushim emalo, but if they are separated out, maybe not. Maybe when you take them away from their origination, maybe they don't have that significance. Tzrichi. So that's why I need both of these limudim. Tashma. Ach mayan uvor mikve mayim yeh tahor. That these types of bodies of water are tahor. So we would have thought the first way we read the pasuk is that you have these bodies of water, and it sounds like they're tahor, that they cannot be mikabel tuma. That seems to indicate that as long as they are attached to the ground, they're in their original state. In that position, they are tehorim. The liquids are tehor. But if you were to take them away from there, they could be mekabel tuma. And that would be a problem for the position of Rav, and that would support Shmuel's position. Rav says, no. Maya tehor. What does the tehor in the pasuk mean? Mitumato. This pasuk is telling you that when you go to the mikveh, when you go into a body of water, you can remove the tuma that is on an object. This is what we as otherwise know as mikveh. And that's what this pasuk is teaching us. The pasuk is teaching us that's how you become tehor. This is what a mikveh is. It's water that's in the ground, that's collected in a ashborin. Utlushin mi machshirin. Wait a minute. Water that is separated out, is it really machshir? V'hama Rabbi Yossi b'rebichanina mashkin beit mitbechaya lo dayan shein dachen. It's not enough that they are teorim, elo she'en machshirin. They're also not machshir, the kabel tuma. So if you make that statement, like we said before, if something is suspended in the mikdash, that means that outside of the mikdash it must be only a din derabanan. So if the Rabbanan, first of all, is saying that the liquids do not convey Tuma or do not accept Tuma in the Mikdash, that means that outside of the Mikdash, that din is only a din to Rabbanan. In addition to that, over here, Rabbi Yosef Ruchanina is saying that they are not Makshir, they're not Makshir the item to be Mekabel Tuma. If they suspend Hekshir the Kabel Tuma from liquids that are already separated from their original spot, and we're saying that in the Mikdash it does not apply, they cannot be Makshir, they cannot prime an Ochel to become Mukshar ready to be Mekabel Tuma, that means that outside of the Mikdash, that's a din to Rabbanan. And the Rabbanan suspended that in the Mikdash. Well, that would go against what we just said. We just interpreted that we have two psukim here to teach us that Hekshir the Kabel Tuma can take place both with liquids that are in the original state as well as liquids that are detached from the original state, both Mechubarim and Lushim. Yet, over here, we have a memra from Reus Bechanina which is suggesting that liquids that are Lushim, that are found in Beit Mitbechaya, are not makshir. If they're not makshir, that means that the whole din is a din de rabbonon, and we just said it was a din de oraita, it was a din min haTorah. So tirgam al dam. That statement is going on the blood. Dam Rab Chir b'Avraham b'Yochanan, minayin dam kodoshim she'enu makshir. How do I know that dam kodoshim is not makshir? Shenemar, al haaretz tishpechanu kamayim. That when is dam considered to be a liquid, is when you spill it on the ground like water. That pasuk is found in Sefer Dvarim with regards to Shrita, with regards to items, whether it's Psulei Mikdashim or Hulin, that when you shech them, you don't have to do anything with the blood. The blood goes down onto the ground. So there it says, Ha'aretz tishpechanu kamayim, as opposed to in the Mikdash, where you have to collect it in the utensil, you have to do Kabbalat Adam. So those items do not require Kabbalat Adam. So when is dam considered to be like mayim, a liquid? That's when Ha'aretz tishpechanu, when it can be dropped on the ground without any consideration. So dam shenishpach ha'mayim makshir. Blood that's spilled like water has a din of being makshir. It has the din of a liquid like mayim, and it can be makshir. Dam she'enu nishpach v'mayim, on the other hand, blood that cannot be spilled on the ground, enu makshir, does not have that property to be makshir. And in the mikdash, the dam that's there is dam from the animal that needs to be collected. That dam that is collected is kabbalat dam, and to be sprinkled on the mizbeach. So it's not ala aretz tishpachanu k'mayim. and therefore it's not machshir. So that's why we have that position that the liquids of Beit Mitmechaya are not machshirim, because it's dam there. The water in Ochanami would be machshir, because that's a din d'oraita. But the blood is not machshir, because the blood is specific in the Mikdash to be utilized. It can't be spilled on the ground. Since it can't be spilled on the ground, therefore, it doesn't have a din of mayim, it doesn't have a din to be makshir. And that's what he was speaking about. That's even min haTorah. So, matkiv lav Shmuel ba'ami, vari dam tamtzit, denishbach ma'ayim. Wait, not all dam in the Mikdash is dam that's ra'oi l'mizbeach. We have the dam ha'nefesh, the dam which the life force comes from. That's the dam that you have to do kabbalat dam and put on mizbeach. Dam ha'tamtzit, which is the extra blood, the blood that is not the life force of the animal, that blood can't go on the mizbeach. It's pasul to go on the mizbeach. So therefore, it should be nishbach kamayim. It could be spilled on the ground. Ain't no makshir. And yet, we're saying over here, it's not makshir. So I'm Rabbi Zera, haneich the dam tamtzit tefilu b'chundin. I mean, no makshir. That's not something that's unique to the mikdash. That's something that applies even outside of the mikdash. It's not makshir, the kabbal tumah, even outside of the mikdash. Kabbal minei Rav Shmuel Barami. Rav Shmuel Barami accepted this explanation. Why? Damar Rachmano, because the pasuk says, Rak chazek bilti achol adam ki adam hu anefesh. Be careful, be strong, do not eat the blood, because blood is the life force of the animal. Dam shanefesh yotzebo korei dam. Dam in the Torah, something that's known as blood, blood is only something that has life force in it. Dam shanefesh yotzebo. On the other hand, blood that the life force is not embedded in it, like dam atadzit, eno korei dam, doesn't have a status of dam. So over here, in order to be makshir the kabbal tumah, you have to be like mayim, it has to be like water. First of all, we established that only certain blood has a din like water. That is, blood that's nishbach al haaretz. Blood that's spilled on the ground has a din like water, and therefore it'll be makshir. In addition to that, blood that we have that's considered to be blood at all is only dam ha'nefesh, dam that the life force of the animal leaves with. But dam ha'tamtzit, dam that is extra blood there, it's not the life force of the animal, that dam doesn't have a status of dam. So therefore, it cannot be makshir. So here have two qualifications in order to be makshir the kabbal tumah for dam. Number one is, it has to be called dam. What's called dam? That's only dam ha'nefesh. Number two is, even dam ha'nefesh, within dam ha'nefesh, there's a bifurcation, and that is that only dam ha'nefesh that is spilled on the ground can be called mayim, but dam ha'nefesh that's utilized or needs to be captured, that dam doesn't have a status of mayim. And therefore, only dam that is dam ha'nefesh and is spilled on the ground can be makshir. In the mikdash, you don't have any of that. The dam ha'nefesh has to be collected, so it's not nishbach al haaretz. The dam ha'tamtzit is never called dam to start with, and therefore there's no dam that's makshir inside of the mikdash. Tosafot over here does ask the question from Of and Chaya. Of and Chaya, when you shecht them even outside the Mikdash, require Kisui Adam. They require that the dam be covered over. So then it's not Nishbach al Haaretz Kemayim. It's not spilled on the ground like water. So why don't we say over there that that dam is not Machshir the Kabbal Tumah? So Tosafot differentiates and says, no, that's not the case there. That blood is spilled on the ground like water. You don't have to capture it in a Kli, like in the Mikdash. There you can let it spill on the ground. You just have an obligation once it's spilled on the ground to cover it. But that doesn't mean you have to collect the blood. It doesn't mean you have to stop the blood from flowing on the ground. You're right, it's not exactly like blood of chulin, but it's still like blood of chulin in that you don't have to capture, you just have to cover it. And therefore, it does qualify as dam ha'nefesh and would be makshir the kabbal tumah. Now the Gemara says, is this really true about dam? That dam is not the kabbal tumah, is not makshir the kabbal tumah. From what you're suggesting over here, dam doesn't have a status of a liquid inside of the mikdash, because either it's dam ha'nefesh, that is captured, and it's not nishbach al haaretz, or it's dam ha'tamtzit, both of which are not classified as mayim, or not classified as dam, and not classified as mayim. So if that's the case, you don't have a dam that in the mikdash that can become tameh. But we do have mishnayot and braitot that seem to indicate that there is dam tameh in the mikdash. How is that possible if the dam in the mikdash never reaches status of either dam or mayim? Gemara says, tashma, dam shenitma, v'zorko b'shogeg, dam that became tameh. And then he sprinkles on the mizbeach bishogeg, if it was done by accident or unknowingly, hurtza, it works. It's nitkabel, the korban is a kosher korban. So hurtza over here means that the korban is a good korban, the balim are yotze, and the kohenim can eat the korban because now it's a kosher korban because the blood is accepted on the mizbeach despite the fact that it was tameh. B'mezid, if they do it intentionally, lo hurtza, then it doesn't work and the blood is not accepted. Lo hurtza means that for the Kohanim, they may not eat the meat, may not eat the flesh of the Korban. That's a punishment for the Kohanim because they did it b'mezid. Whereas opposed to the Balim are Yotze in either case. Because in either case, we'll see in a second, the Tzitzis Miratzeh takes care of it and makes it a kosher Korban. So as far as the Balim are concerned, you have a kosher Korban over here. For the Kohanim, there'll be a difference. If they did it b'shogeg, they can eat the Korban. If they did it b'mezid, then they cannot eat the Korban. So now here you have dam shenitma, you have blood that became tamei. How could blood become tamei if it doesn't have a status of liquid? So my answer is midrabanan. That tuma that we're speaking about there is a din dirabanan. Well, even if it's a din dirabanan, it's the local Rabbi Yossi ben Yoezer Yisraida, at least according to Rav. Even if it's a din dirabanan, that's not like Rabbi Yossi ben Yoezer, because Rav believes that Yossi ben Yoezer believes that there's no tuma whatsoever for liquids inside of the mikdash. Not acceptance of tuma, not conveyance of tuma. So here, if we explain this braita as being tamei midrabanan, that Tano disagrees with Yossi ben Yoezer according to Rav. He says, yes, there is Tuma midrabanan in the Mikdash. Now, they both agree there's no Tuma d'oraita. That at least helps Rav in his position that there is no Tuma midrabanan. But this Tana believes there is Tuma midrabanan in the Mikdash, whereas Yossi ben Yoezer believes there is no Tuma. There was no Gzei Rav Tuma for liquids in the Mikdash. Tashma. Ama tzitz miratze. What does the tzitz take care of? Al adam, for blood, vela basar, and flesh, vela chelev shnitma, that became tamei. Ben bishogeg. Ben b'mezid, ben bonus, ben b'ratzon, ben yachid, ben b'tzibur. So here, the tzitz takes care of these three items that become tamei. Dam, the blood, basar is the flesh, the chelev is the fat. Now the chelev and the dam need to end up on the zbeach. The basar is eaten by the kohanim. Now for sure, the basar is tamei, the kohanim can't eat basar tamei, even if the tzitz is there. They can't help them out. So this is according to a shita. There's a shita later on our mesechta, as well as in Zvachim, that in order to sprinkle the blood on the mizbeach, you have to have some remnant of the basar and the chelev be there. The blood can't go in the mizbeach unless there is some basar and chelev there. But if the basar and the chelev are tamei, it's as if they're not there. So the tzitz is meratzeh to say that even though they're tameim, it's as if they're there. So that's why the tzitz is meratzeh on the tumat adam. Tumat adam is to allow it to be put on the mizbeach, period. Ala basar and the chelev is so that they are there and you could put the dam on the mizbeach. So now, whether they became tamei, whether it was unknowingly, b'shogeg, ben mezid, intentionally, ben bonis, whether it happened accidentally, out of your control, ben b'ratzon, willingly, ratzon and mezid are the same here, we're just using words that are opposite, shogeg and ones, ben b'yachid, ben b'tzibur, whether it's the individual's korban or the tzibur's korban, all of these cases, the tzitzim's meratzeh. Once again, we have dam being tamei. Dam is a liquid in the mikdash, and it's becoming tamei. How could that be possible? So again, the Gemara answers the same way, which is midrabanan, utulo kiyosi ben yuezer ishtreida. That's only a din d'rabbanan, and this Tana disagrees with Yossi ben Yoezer and says that there was a gzeira on liquids in the Mikdash, that they are mekabel tuma, but not that this is a din d'oraita tashma. Once again, we go to the tzitz, v'nasa Aaron et avon ha-kodoshim. It says when he wears the tzitz, that Aaron carries with him the sin, the iniquity of the kodoshim. V'chi es avon hu nosei. Which iniquity, which problem does he carry with him? Im avon pigul. If it's the avon of pigul. Now, pigul manifests itself in two different ways. In the Torah, the word pigul actually means chutz limkomo, that a person thought about when they brought the korban, that they're going to eat this korban outside of the place that you can eat it. Pigul in the Gemara means chutz lizmano, that you had a machshava, you had a thought when you brought the korban, that you're going to eat the korban outside of its time period. So over here, there's a question about the girsa. The word pigul here is being used like pigul in the Torah, which means that you had a machshava of chutz limkomo, that you had in mind that you were going to eat it outside of the normal location where you could eat it when you brought the korban. And that's what the word pigul means here. Rashi and Tosafot both bring alternative girsa oath that change the word pigul out here. Rashi says, based on Torah Kohanim, that he leaves it here, and that Torah Kohanim is following the definitions in the Torah. So we'll read it as the definitions of the Torah, but the pigul here is not the standard meaning in the Shas, but rather pigul here is like the Torah's meaning, which means chutz limkomo. So if you had a machshava chutz limkomo, harik varner mar about chutz limkomo, machshavet chutz limkomo, it says lo yiretzeh, that it cannot be accepted. So the tzitz can't help that out. Im avon notar, now the sin of notar, notar doesn't literally mean notar over here. Nobody would think if you went past the time period where you could eat the korban that the tzitz should be able to fix that. Rather, we're here, we're talking about machshavet chutz lizmano. Pigul in the Gemara. What the definition of the word pigul in the Gemara, which is that you had a machshava to eat it outside of its normal time when you brought the korban. About that, it says, it will not be considered. So here we see that the Torah is explicit that you can't get over these problems. The machshav of chutz l'mikomo, machshav of chutz l'zmano, that can't be what the tzitz is being meratzeh on. So what's the only thing that it could be mitaher? Is the avon of tuma, is the sin of tuma, shuhuta michlala, which has dispensations in other places, which is bitzibur. That tuma hutra bitzibur, or tuma duchuya bitzibur, if the entire, or the rov at zibur is tamei, or the rov at kohanim are tameim, we still bring the korbanot in the mikdash bitum'ah, because of this principle of tuma duchuya, tuma hutra bitzibur. So because there is this principle of tuma hutra bitzibur, we see there is a dispensation in other places, that tzitz takes that tuma and corrects for it over here. So my lav, what's it correcting for? What's tamei here that it's correcting for? tumat adam. It must be talking about the tumah of blood, because that's the only thing that matters. The basar and chilev don't really matter, because they don't have to get on the mizbech in order to attain kapara. The only thing that has to end up on the mizbech to attain kapara is the dam. Except for that one shita that which we mentioned that's later on in the mesachta. But according to most of the shitot, the only thing that has to get on the mizbech is the dam, and then you have kapara. So it must be that the tzitz here is taking care of dam that is tamei. Once again, a problem for Rav. If dam is tamei, that means that liquids do accept tumah in the mikdash. So Amar Papa, lo, no, it's not talking about tumah dam, but rather tumat kmatzim. It's talking about the komets. The komets is the part of the mincha that's taken off and put on the mizbeach by the kohen. It's the equivalent of zrikat adam in an animal, is the komets that's taken off of the mincha and then placed on the mizbeach. So that komets, that separated piece, if it becomes tamei, it's a problem, because if you can't put on the mizbeach, then the mincha is not nitar, and there's no kapara for the balim, or the korban's not as if it was brought. So that's what the tzitz is meratza on. Tzitz is meratza on the fact that if you have tumah by this komets, that the tzitz will say that it's okay to place it on the mizbeach. Now, in terms of these brightot that we just had here, this is the last point to make, there is a stira between the brightot. One brighta says that if it's bishogeg, it's okay, but the tzitz, if it's mezid, it's not okay. The second brayta says, whether it's mezid, whether it's shogeg, it's all okay. So how do we reconcile between those brayta? That's a machloket amuraim in Masechet Tvachim about what the shogeg and mezid is about. Is the shogeg and mezid about the zrikat adam, that he did it unintentionally or intentionally, or is the shogeg and mezid that it became tamei because of a shogeg or because of mezid? The Moraim argue which brayta is speaking about which. One brayta says that it's tahor no matter what. One brayta says it's only tahor if it was shogeg and mezid. Which brayta is which is that machloket amorim. One of the brayta's is speaking about the meat or the basar itself, how it became tamei, and one of the brayta's is speaking about the zrikat adam by the kohanim. And which is which is that's the machloket amorim. So one of them is mutar de gamre, and one of them is only mutar if it's done bishogeg, not when it's done bimezid. Okay, we'll stop over here and we'll continue with the next proof from Sefer Chagai in the next year.